Our next presenter is, or our last presenter is Nicole Ray Galandi. She's a program analyst with the EPI Research and Innovation Branch of the Division of Healthcare Quality and Promotion at CDC for the past 2 years. In addition, part of her job is coordinating EIP projects related to MRSA and also several innovation projects related to appropriateness of antibiotic use and prevalence of healthcare-acquired infections. She has a joint Master's of Nursing and MPH from the University of Illinois at Chicago, and she's worked at the Illinois Health Department, is that right? Yeah, and also as an ICP. So, Nicole, she's going to be talking about racial disparities and invasive MRSA infections 2005 to 2012.
Thank you very much. All right. Good evening, everyone. I have no disclosures. I want to begin our discussion today with some background on methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus and a high-level overview of racial disparities in healthcare-acquired infections. So methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA, as I will refer to it for the rest of the presentation because that's a mouthful, is a gram-positive coccal bacterium. It's an antibiotic-resistant type of Staphylococcus aureus that was first described in 1961 by British scientists. And over the past two decades, it's received frequent media attention due to its emergence in the community. I'm sure many of you have heard of or been involved in school outbreaks or athletic team outbreaks. And the clinical presentation can vary from superficial skin infections to invasive diseases such as pneumonia or bloodstream infections, which can cause sepsis and death. So in 2013, the CDC published the first report on antibiotic resistance threats in the United States. And that report categorized antimicrobial resistant pathogens of concern into three groups: urgent, serious, and concerning. MRSA was identified as a serious threat to public health in that report. And using data from 2011, the report estimated over 80,000 invasive MRSA infections and over 11,000 deaths, making MRSA one of the most common causes of healthcare-acquired infections. But despite its persistence as a serious public health threat, the epidemiology of invasive MRSA has changed dramatically over the past decade. So in 2013, Dantes and colleagues found an overall decline in invasive MRSA of 31% from 2005 through 2011, meaning that an estimated 30,000 fewer invasive infections occurred in 2011 than in 2005. I want to point out the dashed line on this slide, which you can see pointed out by the blue arrows. That line depicts that the largest declines were observed among infections occurring during hospitalization, with a 54% decline. That resulted in the estimated incidence of hospital onset cases being lower than community onset infections for the first time in 2011, which you can see with that red circle. But despite all the knowledge we have about the epidemiology of MRSA, our knowledge about the racial disparities in MRSA is still lacking. So annually, AHRQ publishes a report covering healthcare quality and disparities for select health outcomes. Based on data included in that report, AHRQ has stated that overall, disparities in quality and outcomes by income, race, and ethnicity are large and persistent, and these disparities were not improving substantially through 2012. But even though AHRQ publishes these reports on an annual basis, there's little data available on racial differences in healthcare-acquired infections. A few previous studies have documented varying MRSA rates by race. In 2007, Clevens and colleagues noted that the incidence rates were consistently higher among blacks when compared with whites in varying age groups. And in 2013, Iwamoto and colleagues documented that the incidence of MRSA among black infants was consistently higher than infants among other races. But despite knowing that blacks have higher MRSA rates, it remains unclear if the changing MRSA epidemiology has had any effect on racial differences. So the objectives of this study were to describe temporal trends in MRSA by race, accounting for epidemiologic classification, and to determine if differences in MRSA incidence by race have changed over time. So to complete this analysis, you've heard a little bit about the EIP program already, so some of this is going to be a repeat. We use data from the Emerging Infections Program, or the EIP, which is a network of state health departments and their collaborators that are listed there. So for our surveillance, case finding is laboratory-based, meaning that all clinical laboratories processing sterile specimens from residents of the surveillance catchment area provide line lists of cases to the participating sites. Case finding is also active in that surveillance officers actively look for new cases by contacting laboratories and following up on cases reported through various systems. And case finding is also population-based. So this slide shows the 9 sites that are performing MRSA surveillance for our program. New Mexico is the 10th site, and they are not included for MRSA. Connecticut is the only site that does statewide surveillance for MRSA. The other eight sites perform surveillance in select counties within their states. So for as an example, California does surveillance in the 3-county Bay Area. In 2012, the total population under surveillance was approximately 20 million. So in order to collect data for invasive MRSA surveillance, trained staff at each site collect data via medical record review and report on demographics such as race, ethnicity, and age, medical comorbidities, and healthcare exposures. A case of invasive MRSA must meet the case definition to be included. So the cases must have a positive MRSA culture from a normally sterile site. They must be a resident of the surveillance catchment area, and that culture or that isolate must be collected at least 30 days from the last invasive MRSA case. Cases of invasive MRSA are broken down into 3 different epidemiologic classifications in our surveillance, and that's meant to distinguish how the MRSA was actually acquired. So hospital onset cases, or HO, have an invasive MRSA culture collected greater than 3 calendar days after hospital admission, where date of admission is day 1. The healthcare-associated community onset, or HACO, cases are collected as an outpatient or on hospital days 1, 2, or 3, and those cases must also have one of the following documented in the medical record prior to their initial culture date. So they must have a history of an overnight stay in a short or long-term acute care hospital in the year prior, surgery within 90 days, residence in a long-term care facility in the year prior, and or a central venous catheter in place 1 or 2 days prior. All of the rest of the cases are considered community-associated, or CA. So sources of data for the analysis include EIP invasive MRSA cases using surveillance data from 2005 through 2012. And during those years, the counties under surveillance have fluctuated a bit. So for this analysis, we only use surveillance counties that were under continuous surveillance. So in order to calculate rates, denominator data from the U.S. Census and the U.S. Renal Data System, or USRDS, are used. The U.S. Census denominators are abridged race file, and the USRDS denominator data is a point prevalence count of patients that are on dialysis. Data were analyzed using SAS, and data was limited to cases with black or white race, as those constitute 96% of the cases that we have under surveillance. Missing race was imputed for 9% of the cases, and unfortunately, ethnicity was excluded as 40% of our cases are reported as unknown. So annual invasive MRSA incidence rates were calculated for each race as cases per 100,000 population. Crude rate ratios for black versus white cases were calculated to represent magnitude of racial differences in MRSA rates. Adjusted rate ratios for black versus white cases using Poisson and negative binomial regression models were calculated controlling for age, gender, and temporal trends, and those were tested for interaction between race and time. And all analyses were stratified by the epidemiologic classifications that I just went through. Additional exploratory analyses were completed looking at HACO MRSA rates among chronic dialysis patients, and those were calculated for black and white cases using the number of chronic dialysis patients in the population as the denominator. Crude and adjusted rate ratios were calculated for those cases. And then the Charleston Comorbidity Index, which correlates underlying medical comorbidities with risk of mortality, was calculated for each race. A higher trauma sense score corresponds with higher mortality, and I'll show you those later. For this analysis, the trauma sense score was used as a marker for severity of underlying illness, and those were also stratified by epidemiologic class. So now we'll go through the results, which is much more interesting. I will say, for this beginning section of the results, you'll see a graph that is for the unadjusted rate ratios, and then you'll see a table for the adjusted rate ratios for the multivariate analysis. So that follows for the next 8 or 10 slides. So this graph shows you the unadjusted rates by race for all of those epidemiologic classes combined. And I'll orient you to the slide a little bit. There's a lot going on. So you have your rates per 100,000 population on that left y-axis. And to keep things simple, the white bars correlate with the white cases, and the black bars correlate with the black cases. And then on the right y-axis, you have the unadjusted rate ratios, which correspond with that red line. So you can see from 2005 through 2012, the incidence rates for both races decreased, and the unadjusted rate ratio declined slightly from about 2.6 to 2. So this is the multivariate analysis for all epidemiologic classes. And those were adjusted for age, sex, and time. And this is, again, all epidemiologists, sorry. Adjusted rate ratios for black race was 2.75, and despite an overall decrease in rates of 7%, per year the rate ratio did not significantly change over time. So next we looked at each epidemiologic class separately. This slide shows the hospital onset cases, and as you can see from the bar graph, the rates decreased for both races by 50% over these years for both races. However, when you look at the rate ratio, it has stayed relatively stable during this time period. And here you see the multivariate analysis for the HO cases. The adjusted rate ratio for the black race was 2.32, and despite an overall decrease of 14% in the rates per year, the rate ratio didn't significantly change. The HACO cases represent the majority of our cases. They're the largest epidemiologic class we have. So this graph looks very similar to that first graph that you saw, where the rates have decreased for both races, but the rates remain twice as high for those in the black race. On this slide, we have the adjusted rate ratio for black race and HACO cases. The adjusted rate ratio for black race was 3.13. And again, even with an overall decrease of 7% per year, the rate ratio did not significantly change. But for the community-associated cases, this one looks a little bit different. So what you'll notice, and I'll point out here, again, the black cases decreased, while the white cases stayed the same and even increased a little bit here in the last 2 years. So that made the unadjusted rate ratio look very dramatically lower over the past few years. And when we look at the multivariate analysis for the community-associated cases, the adjusted rate ratio was 2.2 for the black race, and there was no significant decline in the overall rate. That's consistent with what we just saw. However, unlike what you saw, the adjusted rate ratio for the black race did not significantly change over time. So we have an inconsistency here. So the reason for the apparent difference became a little bit more apparent when we broke this down and stratified it by age group. So this graph shows the adult cases only for the black cases, stratified for 3 categories within the adults. And you can see that their rates have consistently gone down over this time period. But when you look at the trends for the pediatric cases in the black cases, the lowest age groups of those black cases that are less than 2 years old has actually gone up. And your other black pediatric cases have stayed relatively the same. So that partially explains what we've seen. We didn't show you the white cases. It would have made the graphs much too busy, and their rates have stayed relatively stable, as you saw. So to summarize so far, overall, the hospital onset and healthcare-associated disease have decreased significantly for all races, However, no significant rate decrease is seen for the community-associated cases. Blacks continue to have 2 to 3 times higher incidence rates of invasive MRSA when compared to whites, with no significant change over time for the hospital onset or the HACO disease. In contrast, disparities in the community-associated infections have increased in young children while decreasing in the adults. So based on existing healthcare disparities literature, some of the possible explanations for those trends that we're seeing are listed here. The underlying patient populations may have differences in medical comorbidities or other factors such as socioeconomic factors, which we don't track. Different patterns in healthcare utilization, such as differences in access to healthcare for the community onset infections, and differences in rates of hospitalization for different races for the hospital onset infections. And lastly, there's the potential for disparities in the actual healthcare that's being provided to these people. So to investigate the effect of healthcare utilization, we did a further exploratory analysis looking at the HACO MRSA rates among chronic dialysis patients. So dialysis cases make up about 30% of the HACO cases. And this population was used because they should have a comparable access to medical care regardless of what their race is. So this slide is the same as what the other ones were. I will point out that the rate is per 1,000 population now instead of 100,000 population. So the unadjusted rate ratio here is less than what it was for the HACO group overall, which was 2.5 to 2. And here you can see that it's been pretty stable at 1.5. And when we did the adjusted rate ratio for the HACO dialysis cases, that was 1.34. And despite an overall decrease in rates of 8% per year, it did not significantly change. So for the unadjusted and the adjusted HACO dialysis cases, the rate ratio for Black race was less than it was for the overall HACO cases, but there was still some disparity. So next we looked at the Charlson comorbidity scores to get a look at if the underlying patient populations were different. This chart depicts the percent of each race by corresponding Charlson score. So a higher score on the bottom correlates to a higher increase in comorbid conditions. So those with a score greater than 5 are your sickest patients. So this one is for the hospital onset cases, and you'll see that in the higher scores, the people with Black race have higher comorbidities. That same trend holds true when you look at the HACO cases or healthcare-associated community onset cases. But then when you look at the community-associated cases, the majority, almost half of these, have Charlson scores of 0. And the distribution in those lower categories is very similar. So differences in comorbidities between races in this community-associated category are only present for a very small minority in that highest category. So the limitations of the study are that it may not represent nationwide trends. The distribution of underlying illness in the entire population is unknown. Therefore, we looked at the Charlson scores for our cases. We don't know that those scores actually affect rates of disease. We're unable to control for medical utilization except in the dialysis patients. We're unable to look at the effect of other races or ethnicity. Strengths of the study include it's a multi-site data. It includes multi-site data on invasive MRSA infections. And it's the first population-based description of trends for racial disparities in healthcare-associated infections. So in conclusion, recent reductions in healthcare-associated MRSA infections have not affected racial differences in healthcare-associated MRSA rates, and adjusting for access to care was able to explain some of the racial variation, but rates of invasive MRSA remain significantly higher among Blacks. Underlying medical comorbidities may explain some of those racial differences. And trends and disparities for community-associated MRSA rates differ for adults and children. And to reduce those disparities, we need improved understanding of what's causing them and then prevention strategies to address those underlying causes. So I want to thank everybody that worked on this with me and helped me, and the 9 sites that participate in our surveillance, and then obviously everybody at CDC who helped me.
Did you find, were your findings consistent across the 9 sites? Or have you tried looking at that yet?
So there are, we have some sites that contribute much more cases than others.
Sure.
Maryland and Georgia, for the community associated cases, they actually were kind of the drivers for that difference that you saw. So we looked at them a little closer, and that's where we discovered the age difference. So we haven't looked at it specifically by each site. That's something that we probably will do in the future, but as of now, we haven't done it.
Yeah, I can point out that the EIP sites in Maryland and Georgia are especially, Maryland is especially the greater Baltimore area, and Georgia is the greater Atlanta area.
Yes.
So they each have substantial urban.
Their volume of MRSA cases contributing to our surveillance are very large.
Yeah. Another question, have you thought about looking at, you said you didn't have any SES, so have you thought of, has there been discussion of using census tract level poverty type analysis as well?
So actually, we also geocoded, we did for 2009 through 2011, we geocoded the community associated cases, which turns out those are the ones that we needed to look at a little bit closer. And Isaac C., who's our medical officer, is actually working on that project right now with in collaboration with Berkeley out in California, trying to kind of dig a little bit deeper into what those socioeconomic factors are that we're seeing with that. So that will be forthcoming. He's actually submitted an abstract to ID Week.
What type of SES measure is he using?
Poverty, mostly. There are a few others, and I can't list exactly what they are, but I know he's looking at poverty. He has looked at the Harvard study very extensively. So.
Another question, if I remember right, I think you said you imputed the race data for 9% of your cases. Could you tell us more about your imputation method?
So I can't. I'm not the one who does it. We have a statistician who does it for us, and it's based on the area. So it's individually by each site imputed based on what their population looks like, but I can't tell you exactly how she does it. Sorry. I can get you in touch with her if you want to, more information on that. Hi, Jim. Yeah, actually, it's just not something that we had done in this instance, but very much so we could look at it for other populations. And we were just going for equal access to care in this analysis, but that is something that we could look at. It would probably be very interesting, actually.
Okay, well, no other questions, just one sort of announcement. There is the Health Disparities Subcommittee has conference calls every 2 months. Actually, the first 2 presentations were presented earlier this year on those conference calls, but there was also a chance to discuss the methods used and the findings, and you know, with a fair amount of time afterwards. It's something we plan to do, continue to do in the next year. Anyone who's not aware of that, who's interested in that, and finding out when the calls are. Usually they're on like the third Thursday of the month between 2 and 3 o'clock. But Jessica Worcester is the CSCD contact person. So Jessica's name is available. I'm sure you can see it in various places in your program, and also on the CSCD website. And all you have to do is just email her and say, I'd like to be notified of those subcommittee calls. If you're not aware of those already.